Our scripture reading today comes from John's Gospel. And as I said, we are on our way to Jesus' death on the cross and then ultimately his resurrection. But we begin today back at the beginning of his ministry when he first called some of his disciples. And so we hear as Karen reads for us today.
The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Peter," which means the rock. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing of Scripture.
Hello, my name is Andrew. I'm 19, and I live with my family in Bethsaida at the north end of the Sea of Galilee. We look right down the length of the lake, and if that isn't a foretaste of heaven, I don't know what is. Our family are fishermen, and hopefully my brother Simon Peter and I will take over the family business someday. But whenever I say that, I get this odd feeling it's not going to happen. Why would that be? Who knows? But anyway, they say there are more than 200 fishing boats on the Sea of Galilee. Now, that's a lot, but if you work hard, most people can make a decent living. I have a good friend, John. He and his brother, James, and their father, Zebedee, are also fishermen. They live down in Capernaum, and like Simon and I, they hope to take over the family business. Now, recently, John and I have come to know another John. He's kind of an odd fellow, but he's been making quite a name for himself by baptizing lots of people in the Jordan River. He's definitely a unique individual. First of all, he dresses really weird. And we don't care much for his diet either. His message is clear, though, and we believe it and follow him for that reason. "It's time to get your act together," he says. "Repent and turn away from all the rubbish you're doing, and do it now. Get ready for God's arrival. Clear the path for him." You know, most people don't like to hear they're imperfect, but that's what we like about John. He tells it straight. Now, lately, John has been talking more and more about his cousin Jesus, saying that Jesus is much more important than he. John baptizes with water, but he says that Jesus will baptize by the Holy Spirit, whatever that means. Anyway, there we were chatting with John, and we pointed out that there walked this Jesus. So we excused ourselves and hurried off after him. We just wanted to tag along for a while from a distance and see why our baptizer friend raved so much about him. But then this Jesus turned to see who was following him. That's when we got our first gaze at him. He had a rugged Galilean face and the physique and hands of an honest working man. And yet his demeanor was very welcoming. His eyes were certainly memorable, alive, engaging, challenging, even having a hint of mischief. But it was something else that halted us in our tracks. I mean, how do you describe someone who kind of overwhelms the space he takes up? Now, my brother Simon is a big personality, but this man was different, bigger in a different way. You could tell there was a fire inside of him, if that makes any sense. And then he asked us a question which was pretty direct. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? We didn't really answer the question. We just stammered out something about where he was staying. But thinking on it, Jesus was really asking us a much bigger question. So deceptively simple, and yet so meaningful and consequential. So what are we looking for? What am I looking for? I suspect this is a question that all of us could ponder for hours on end, but only a fortunate few will ever find the answer. Now, this question that Jesus asked Andrew is just one of 307 questions that Jesus asks in the Gospels. And during Lent, we're going to look at just a few of them. Now, today's question, depending on which version of the Bible is used, is translated as either, "What are you looking for?" or "What are you seeking?" Either way, this question may be Jesus' most important one. Not only because it's the question he asked his very first disciples, but because it's one that touches the very core of a person. I mean, think about it. What are you looking for? What are you seeking? What are you seeking in order to find? To answer these questions requires some serious thinking and meditating and personal reflection so that you can learn about your true self. Let me share a modern day parable. Three men arrived at the door of a spiritual teacher, and he asked them all the same question. Did you come to me because of others or because of yourself? The first man answered that he had been sent by others. He was dismissed. The second man answered that he came of his own accord. He was dismissed. And the third man stammered, reminiscent of what we just heard Andrew say, that he had heard of the spiritual teacher from others, but he came on his own, partially out of curiosity, partially out of frustration, partially because he was searching, and probably a host of other motives of which he was not aware. The spiritual teacher said to him, "You'll do." It was the multi-layered and truth-seeking mind that was accepted. You see, all learning comes from questions. And all the essential questions of life have been asked throughout the millennia. Men and women today still seek the answers to the questions, what is my purpose in life? Is there life after death? Is there a God? What am I looking for? What am I seeking? And what is Jesus' perfect response to all these questions? Come and see. Come, follow me and see. For the truth is, we do not know all the reasons for what drives us in this life. We listen to the culture which tells us to have more, have the best, look the best, take care of number one. And yet we know that these things do not and cannot satisfy. And so we keep searching and asking questions. And yet the answer is so simple. Come and see. The Message version of Ephesians 1:11 tells us, it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ, he had his eye on us and had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. You see, today's gospel story is not just about our seeing. It is also about what Jesus sees. John tells us, Jesus looked around and saw them following. He saw them. The scripture tells us about Jesus' way of looking and what becomes possible when we dare to experience his gaze. Now, Jesus looks at the disciples and he sees their hunger, their curiosity, their hope. He sees their potential and he calls them to follow him. He looks at Simon and he sees Peter, the rock on which he will build his church. And Jesus looks at us and sees what lies beneath the fumbling, the fear, the mixed motives, the doubts. And he sees who we are meant to be and the life we are meant to live. I want to share with you a true story. Alfred Nobel became very rich as a consequence of inventing the explosive dynamite. And in 1888, he was reading the newspaper when he came across his own obituary. Now, it was actually his brother who had died, but the newspaper thought it was Alfred and so wrote about him. Alfred read that he was considered a merchant of death who had grown rich by developing new ways to mutilate and kill. It was a shock to him. Was that what he wanted to be remembered for? Was that his purpose in life? Now, perhaps at that moment, he came under the gaze of Jesus. Because that experience led Alfred Nobel to bequeath the majority of his fortune to establish the Nobel Prize Institution, which would annually recognize and reward those who conferred the greatest benefit to humankind. You see, when Jesus gazes on us and calls us to come and see, even the most hard-edged person might be changed. The world might be changed. Even you might be changed. Come and see. Are you looking for hope in the darkness of this world? Jesus promises, I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Are you looking for a better way to live? Jesus tells us, I am the way and the truth and the life. Are you looking for abundance in this life? Jesus promises, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be yours. Are you looking for assurance in the face of death? Jesus tells us, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And so let's hear Jesus ask it one more time. What are you looking for? What are you seeking? If you're like me, you'll say, Lord Jesus, I'm looking for peace between people and countries. I'm looking for justice for all. I'm looking for mercy and kindness and generosity and love among neighbors to be commonplace. I'm looking for faith to abound. But is any of this possible? Now, listen to Jesus say, come and see. Come, follow me and see. Amen.